Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we were supposed to record yesterday. You said you weren't feeling well. I come over here, you're feeling perfectly fine. Clearly, you were embellishing, dude.
Dude.
You were embellishing just like the Sharks, and that's why we won the series, because we embellished. Dude, I take umbrage with that, but I don't care because we swept the Canucks. Take that, Kevin Bieksa. Shove it.
First sweep in franchise history. Who would have called it? A 3-6 matchup. The Sharks are the underdog. Everybody but from Puck Daddy to Barry Melrose picked Vancouver to win that series, and the Sharks made them all look really stupid in sweeping the Canucks in four straight games. Wow. That was unexpected.
Yeah, dude. No one would have predicted that. Now, I think we've both felt that we were going to win the series, but and I know it wasn't with a huge degree of confidence.
Not at all.
But we both believe that this was the Sharks' best shot of getting into the conference semis, was drawing Vancouver, and it turned out to be so, dude. I mean, really just the best matchup. These teams played each other seven times this year, and the Sharks beat them all seven times.
Right.
And we usually see the Sharks on the opposite end of this kind of domination.
Yes.
With Chicago and St. Louis in the past. Dude, Sharks earned it. You know, they earned it.
Yes.
And they deserve to be in the position that they're in. They're riding one of their hot streaks. Let's just hope they can keep the good times train going, dude.
Yeah, it's still very much up in the air who the Sharks are going to face next round, although it's looking more and more likely like Chicago. We'll get to that in a minute. But now let's talk about how the series went down. Dude, let's identify some turning points in the series. What did the Sharks do right, or what did the Canucks do wrong in order for the series to turn out so lopsided?
Well, the Sharks won 5-on-5 play, which I thought was ironic when Alain Vigneault said that he was happy with his team's 5-on-5 play. At that moment, they were being outscored 4 goals by the Sharks 5-on-5, but that was funny. But Sharks won that aspect of the game. Their power play was at 29%.
Yeah.
And they're dominant in the faceoff circle. And if you win those three areas and your goalie is playing outstanding,
mm-hmm.
you're going to win a series.
You're going to win, period.
And that all came together. The other thing for the Sharks is, listen, when Patrick Marleau and Joe Pavelski play well, the Sharks win.
Yes.
They win. And
especially when they're not on a line, either of them on a line with Joe Thornton, and they're the second and third line. How can you compete against that, right?
Pavelski and Couture right now, just after playing four games, are tied for second in playoff scoring in the NHL with 8 mm-hmm. points. Mm-hmm. Other players have played more games. Pavs and Couture are tied for second, 8 points. Marleau's tied for second in playoff goals with 4. So, you know, they have 3 of the best scorers in the NHL playoffs right now in just a 4-game sample size. And, I mean, when they played St. Louis last year, both those guys had no points, dude. They had no points. And when the Sharks made it to the Western Conference Finals the year before that, those guys had 12 playoff goals between them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And when they made it the year before that in 2010, they had 17 goals. So listen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already at 8. So of course they're going to win. Can they keep it up? You know, can they keep it up? I mean, all signs point to yes right now. No reason to doubt them in the moment, but I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, those guys play well. Sharks play well.
That's right. And if you can have the balanced scoring, you have a very dangerous third line with Pavelski chipping in. Rafi Torres.
Oh, Torres was great.
Many, many chances.
That goal, the overtime goal, was the tipping point in the season and in the series. I think.
I completely agree with you. That was a game. If you were a Vancouver fan, you would have felt crushed after game two. I thought Vancouver dominated massive portions of that game. They had a lead late. Sharks tied it up. Sharks score in overtime. That is a huge opportunity lost. Vancouver goes down 0-2, losing both games at home. How could you not feel just deflated after a situation like that? I'm not following basketball, but you know what? The Warriors had like a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they lost the game, you know, against San Antonio
on the road.
On the road, and that's game one, and you know, but that's bad enough. This is game two. They already lost game one. Sharks come back to tie, win it in overtime. How brutal was that? Do you think that was the point at which Vancouver said, "There's nothing we can do here"?
I never felt like Vancouver threw in the towel. Right. You know, I don't think it was a question of effort on their part. I felt like they were engaged and checked in. I think they were over aggressive and they took way too many penalties. Mm-hmm. They took 27 minor penalties in four games. The Sharks took 13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a huge disparity.
Right.
And when the Sharks are going to score on a 30% clip on the power play, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
You're pretty well screwed.
You're basically screwed. So, the Canucks did that to themselves, whether they want to put the blame on the referees. Yeah. Okay. Was the penalty at the end of game four questionable on Sedin?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Sure.
Not a good call. If that went against the Sharks the other way, we'd be screaming bloody murder right now. They have every right to be upset. If you want to try and defend the call, you can. If you read the rules about boarding, it doesn't say about anything about hitting a guy in the back. It says you hit a guy in a way such that he crashes into the boards violently. It doesn't necessarily say you have to hit the guy in the numbers or in the nameplate. So technically, is that a boarding call according to the rules? Yes, it is. However, do referees call things completely defiant of the rules or not call them defiant of the rules all season long and in the playoffs especially? Yes, they do. So yeah, that really should not have been a penalty.
It's a surprising call at that point in the game. But listen, we'll take it. And, you know, Vancouver, they had their chances. You mm-hmm. know, in they had a chance to win two of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. So too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they have a lot of soul searching to do. And their Sedins didn't score. They didn't score any goals. Yannick Hansen didn't score at all.
Yep.
And, you know, Jason Garrison, who, you know, we said when they made that signing, go,
oh,
God,
crap.
You know, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, it was sort of, oh, crap. And I sort of thought, that's crap at the same time, because, you know, they gave this guy who had one good year. He was an average NHL defenseman with one good year, and he didn't score. And they brought him in there to be an offensive, a goal-scoring force from the blue line. He didn't score.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't score. He didn't score for them all year, really.
He's like Sheldon Surrey, like scary power, but can't seem to actually put the puck in the net.
He had one good year.
Yeah.
And they rewarded him for it. And now, you know, he's not a bad player. I'm not saying he even played poorly. He didn't score, and that's why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Kessler was a minus two, which makes me smile. You know, this
makes
guy,
me really smile, because it looked like in game two he killed us, which the Sharks managed to come back and win the game. But, you know, he killed the Sharks in that one game, and I was getting flashbacks from past series. But it seemed like that was his only flash. You know, he had that one game where it seemed like he was doing everything. He scored two goals or whatever. And it just seemed like, oh, you know, here we go again. Ryan Kessler, the most annoying guy who's going to beat the Sharks. But couldn't keep it up. Didn't continue that kind of dominance or whatever it is that he managed to gin up for that one game.
So I was listening to the Hockey Central podcast, which is Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean, based out of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And the question that was asked to those guys was Vancouver that bad in this series, or was San Jose that good?
Right.
What's the answer, dude? In your opinion?
The answer is San Jose was that good. That's what I think.
Yeah, they agree with you.
I mean, that's not to say that Vancouver didn't make a significant amount of mistakes, not only from, you know, players making individual mistakes, but coaching mistakes. I mean, we'll talk about goalies in a minute, but you said it at the top, dude. You have Marleau and Pavelski scoring, and then neither of those guys are even playing with Thornton, who was very good on the power play, had his own share of points, although he didn't have a goal, did he? Do you have one goal?
Don't remember.
But he certainly had some assists and looked very dangerous on the power play. Thornton doing his standard business. Yeah, you got three lines that are all legitimate scoring threats. That doesn't match up well with a Vancouver team who is very based and a coaching staff that is very based on trying to find exactly the most lopsided matchup they can. Because against the Sharks this series, there was no lopsided matchup. You can try and get them against the fourth line, I suppose, but you know, McClellan will pull him in and put out Pavelski, and then they'll score.
Right. Didn't work out. If you're Vancouver at this point, what do you do? I mean, if you are the Vancouver Canucks owner, what do you do at this point? Where do you go from here? I mean, Mike Gillis had a press conference today saying that there will be changes in Vancouver. So what are those changes? And should those changes involve Mike Gillis?
I think you can make a really good case for firing Mike Gillis. Yeah, like you said, Jason Garrison, certainly Roberto Luongo is his contract.
The Zach Cassian trade?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad trade right now. You see, Hodgson was second on Buffalo in scoring with 34 points. And dude, what's the difference between Zach Cassian and Ben Eager right now? What's the difference?
I think Ben Eager has a better beard.
He has more hair.
Yeah, he's got a better beard and straighter teeth, I believe.
I don't see anything from Zach Cassian. You know, I mean, I'm not a Zach Cassian aficionado, you know, but
who is?
But in these four games, I didn't see any sort of display of skill that made me think that he could be Milan Lucic.
Right, yeah.
I see.
And that's what they wanted.
I don't think he's that. I think he's Ben Eager. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who will be traded for a fourth rounder at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a screw up. That's a oops. That's a big oops. You trade a 34-point guy in a shortened season, that would have been 50, 60-point forward for a bottom six thug.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Big mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah, I think you could definitely make a good case. You can fire Mike Gillis.
The Derek Roy trade. That's not good either.
No.
The guy they traded to Dallas is, I think, leading the AHL in defense in playoff scoring. Oops. Oops. Bad trade.
Well, you know, I don't fault him as much on the Derek Roy trade, because I think Derek Roy is a really good player, and I think certainly Gillis. I think Vancouver is not completely unlike the Sharks in several respects. I mean, they have a window that's closing. You know, if you read the awesome post-mortem or eulogy for Vancouver on the Puck Daddy blog today, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but I mean, I don't think Vancouver's a bad team.
I don't think they're a bad team, but you could certainly make the case that their window has closed and they don't have much in the system. I mean, this is a team that, you know, like I said, is a little bit like the Sharks. I mean, they got a lot of their stars are aging. The Sedins are well over 30. Their best players are over 30, which is, you know, in contrast to the Sharks, right? Because we have, you know, Couture and some young defense that are pretty good. I mean, Vancouver is like the Sharks, but more so. And, you know, I don't necessarily fault them for going out and trying to get Derek Roy. This is a bit of a last hurrah for them, and it flat out didn't work out. You know, I'm more inclined to give him a pass for that, because, what, so you bring up a great defenseman next year, and then what? They still kind of suck. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think Alain Vigneault in this series made a huge mistake in bringing in Corey Schneider in Game 3. I thought Roberto Luongo played well. His stats didn't really signify it, but he made several just all-world spectacular saves in Games 1 and 2, and those games could have been out of hand if it weren't for Bobby Liu. So I thought that was a tactical mistake. You know, clearly, you know, Schneider got pulled in Game 3, and they brought in Luongo again, so didn't work out there. I didn't think Schneider was particularly great in Game 4. Looked good early, but then...
God, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
There's a lot of blame to go around.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
A lot of blame to go around.
And when a team gets swept, or gets just totally dominated, like the Sharks did last year in the first round. There's a lot of soul searching going on. And, you know, Vancouver is sort of locked in, just like the Sharks, to a core group of guys that you can't really do anything with. What are you going to do with the Sedins? I mean, you're not going to trade the Sedins, or that's not even a deal I don't think you can even make.
No.
I mean, you have to trade both. They've got 1 year left. But I mean, do you bring them back? Who knows? Who cares? Dude, they are dead. They are dead to us, dude. They are dead.
What do you think about the whole... you know, there's always controversies in the playoffs and people sounding off in the press, but the whole thing about how the Sharks were divers and all this kind of thing, like, it seems so funny because, you know, for one, obviously the Canucks have been, you know, accused of this. And if you want to look up the Ryan Kessler tumbleweed dive that he took a little way back.
Excuses, grasping at straws, desperation, a team down 3-0. Refusing to take accountability for what's going on, and instead it's not their fault, it's the referee's fault,
right?
So,
or the Sharks' fault because they're diving.
Kevin Bieksa, sorry that a puck didn't get lost up in the rafters and that you couldn't score at the end of the game like last time,
right?
You know, to score the miracle goal at the end
when there should have been an icing,
right? Go cry in a corner. You're done. Enjoy playing golf.
Yeah, he's on the tees right now. Yeah. I'm sure he's on the links.
So, dude, now, before we get into who we might play next, let's look at the Sharks' health situation, which, you know, there's Tommy Wingles got hurt at the end of that game. Apparently, he is fine. That's the reports right now that he's okay skating. He's going to play. Havlat, Demers, Burrish, these are other issues. Let's start with Adam Burrish.
Adam Burrish has not played well. He hasn't played well during the regular season. I wouldn't say he had much to speak of in the playoffs.
So the fact that he's not going to play in the second round, which they've announced that he's out for the entire round after taking a slash from Edler, which you'd have to assume if he's out for an entire round before it's even started, that this is a guess that that is a broken wrist.
Yeah. Or broken hand, or broken
hand,
finger.
Something that you just cannot... Well, finger, I mean, we've seen guys play with that.
That's true.
But wrist, hand, arm, like something that you just could never play with.
Right.
Well, I guess you never say never. I'm sure some crazy lunatic has played with that injury.
Like in the 30s, they played with like one leg, it fell off.
So you feel like the absence of Burrish will not be felt if you're bringing in... Because that now, let's assume Havlat's not back either, because I certainly don't have a ton of confidence in him, you know, having a great white blood cell count.
Yeah.
So, and we don't even totally know what's wrong with him, because he claims that it's not the spear from our friend Kevin Bieksa, the cleanest man on the planet,
right,
who loves to spear people in the groin.
Yep.
That that's not the problem.
Yeah.
So... Mr. Glass is out again.
Yep.
So now we're looking at Tim Kennedy, dude. Tim Kennedy, who made an appearance in game two.
Basically invisible.
So Tim Kennedy on the fourth line with Gomez and Shepard.
Yep. That appears to be the situation.
So is that how much do you think that will affect the team if that's going to be the case? Or is there someone else you'd rather see play in that situation?
Well... Considering Tim Kennedy couldn't get in the lineup, even though he was on the 23-man roster the last 2 months of the season, it makes you kind of wonder, and it makes you think about what kind of skills the Sharks are looking for. Tim Kennedy is not a very large person. He has some clearly some scoring touch. He was leading the Worcester Sharks in scoring when we called him up, but it makes you wonder if the Sharks might want to go for one of the black aces like Bracken Kearns, who is a bigger body, you know, a tougher customer. Is this a guy that you'd rather have in the lineup, you know, instead of a guy who throws the body around a little bit like Burrish and a guy who throws around the body a little bit like Desjardins normally would on the fourth line? Would you rather have Bracken Kearns in the lineup at this point, dude?
Ooh, dude, that's tough. I mean, Bracken Kearns has no NHL track record. Tim Kennedy at least has 100 games.
Yeah.
Plus... a handful of NHL playoff games under his belt. No, not in game one. I would still go with Tim Kennedy if it came down to that. Now, another thing that's possible is we've seen the Sharks not be afraid to play D up front many times. I mean, if Jason Demers is healthy, would you rather see them dress Demers and have 7D and play one and play him as a forward again? Hello, Brent Burns.
Yeah, it's like we got double Brent Burns up there. Double barrel Brent Burns.
It gives you the option to play Demers on the power play, to spell Scott Hannon and Brad Stewart occasionally and even strength, and let him take a forward shift. I'm not saying that's the right move, but of the players, he's the most talented.
Right. He seems like the next player you would want to be in the lineup. You would rather
don't
have
want Matt Pelich out there. He's not an option.
No, no.
Here's a crazy one, dude. Mm. The Sharks have not been afraid in the past to promote young players. Could Freddie Hamilton make his NHL debut as a defensive forward, which is what he is, in the NHL playoffs, dude?
Like you said, it's not unprecedented. Our friend Marcel Gotch was debuted as a Shark in the playoffs. I think Matt Carl maybe played at a handful or less of regular season NHL games before he played playoff games. It's possible. I haven't heard. Is he even? He's not even a scratch right now.
Well,
so he's not even on the 23.
I haven't even seen who is officially around. Mm-hmm. Who is on the scratch list?
I know Kearns is. Kearns and Kennedy, Pelech.
Pelech is?
Pretty sure. And
I'm Tennyson?
Sure. Yeah, and Tennyson. Yeah. So, you know, they'd have to, not that there's really, you have to clear waivers in the playoffs or anything like that, but, you know, the Worcester Sharks aren't in the playoffs. I mean, they can bring in anybody, but I think if they were thinking about that, they probably would have done it by now. He would be, you know, around.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thought. I'm just saying as we're looking at options, I think it's pretty clear that hopefully Havlat can go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the preference, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can't, then, you know, I think Tim Kennedy and then Bracken Kearns, depending on the matchup. If it's Chicago, probably see Tim Kennedy. If it's LA or St. Louis, you might see Bracken Kearns because that's, you know, going to be maybe a better matchup physically against two more physical teams, dude.
Yep.
I guess the time is now to look ahead.
Yeah.
In our crystal ball.
I want to revel in the victory, dude. I want to revel some more.
Really, you know, is the option there for them to play one of the other three teams? You know, I guess Minnesota would have to go on an unthinkable run. It's not going to happen.
No.
It's going to be Chicago or St. Louis or LA. Right now, it certainly looks like with the Ducks leading that series 3-2. Now, could Detroit win tomorrow night at home? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So Detroit winning that series, I wouldn't count them out. I give them a better shot than I give St. Louis to beat LA right now, which I think LA's kind of got St. Louis bent over the barrel.
Interesting.
Going back to LA in game six, I'm obviously rooting for the Blues because I have them in our playoff pool, but I feel like the Kings are sort of up to their old tricks watching them win some of these games.
Yeah. And yeah.
For a team that was so bad on the road during the regular season to go into St. Louis and win twice in three tries just makes me feel really uneasy about them.
Well, hey,
in terms
we beat Vancouver twice. Opponent.
I know, but you know, yeah, no, you're right. Yes, you get to the playoffs, it's a different animal. So all things being equal, dude, would you rather, since we know all roads go through Chicago, would you rather play them now or would you rather wait until the conference finals? Do you get it over with and play them next if you could pick, or do you put them off until the conference finals?
I put them off. I mean, I have a
why.
There's no extra points for going through tough teams, you know what I'm saying? I'd much rather go and play LA or St. Louis first. I just would, you know, it gives whoever is playing Chicago an opportunity to tire them out, to beat them down, for players to get injured. I mean, these things happen in the playoffs. I'd rather have that.
That's exactly right, dude. I would agree. It gives you two more weeks for Patrick Kane to be arrested for punching someone in a cab,
right,
or Patrick Sharp's wrist to go out again. And, you know, as they're getting healthier, although Boland and Emery are still banged up, it gives them two more weeks for someone else to have a Torres moment and take out Marian Hossa in the other series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let someone else bang them up. And you don't know what'll happen. If somehow Taze and Kane are both knocked out and sitting in a wheelchair sipping chicken soup through a straw, I have no shame in playing them without those guys.
None
at
all.
You don't care. The end is the end. So,
and even from an armchair psychology side, I have no idea how these things happen in the locker room and what the situation is in terms of a player's mental status, but I can imagine, it's certainly not inconceivable to me, that the Sharks play the number one seed, the President's Trophy winner, in Chicago in the next round and beat them. I could see a letdown in the following round in the conference finals. You go play LA, or you go play St. Louis, or whoever it is, and it's like, we got this. We beat Chicago. But if that happens and you're in the Stanley Cup final, a round to which the Sharks have never been, I can hardly imagine the Sharks would have a letdown there and say, oh, we got this because we made it to the Stanley Cup final. Because as we are going to talk about in a minute, there are plenty of good teams in the East to think about.
Right.
Purely from a mental health perspective, I think I'd rather see Chicago in the conference finals as well.
So between St. Louis and LA, who would you prefer?
Despite the way LA is playing, I take LA.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked about ad nauseum, the Sharks do not match up well against the Blues. I don't want to see it. I really don't want to see it. I mean, they match up even worse against Chicago, in all honesty. But
see, I disagree with you on that.
Oh, I'd much rather see them play the Blues than play Chicago in the next round.
I think the Sharks have not played Chicago as they're in their current roster makeup,
incarnation.
In the way the lines are balanced with Torres, the way they're playing right now. I mean, the Sharks played Chicago twice when they were in their deepest of depressions, and they got worked both times. The one time where they blew the lead at home when the Sharks' winning streak got snapped,
they were up 3-0.
I mean, they were up 3-0. They were in that game. They blew it. But that, you know what? Stuff happens. Like, that one was frustrating, but it's not like you circle it and you go, oh, terrible. You know what I mean? Like, they can't play with them. I don't think either of us left that game going, we can't play with them. I think we both left that game going, we should have beaten them. We had them.
You sound like Jumbo. Things happen.
I'm wearing a shirt. So, I think the Sharks match up better with Chicago than they do St. Louis. And I would rather see LA, although that doesn't bode well for my Vegas bet. I think for the Sharks, long-term health here in the playoffs, they split the season series with LA. The last 2 years against St. Louis has been bad, in terms of their ability to beat the Blues. It's not been good. So we'll find out, we might know this weekend. Certainly rooting for the Blues to win tomorrow night. That's a great series. Very physical. Not a lot of flowers being sent from locker room to locker room. And so it's such a good series. Entertaining. Not high scoring, but just good hockey. Just good hockey. There's a lot of good series going on right now I'm enjoying watching.
I was gonna recap our drafts.
Sure.
Our fantasy
sure
drafts.
Okay,
there's some hilarious draft positions. So just calling who's out. So Vancouver was the number three draft of yours, and is that right?
No, you had him.
I had him. Okay, so I have
my, oops, you were about to mock me for your own pick.
No, I was just I have the wrong one mocked. So I'm actually doing poorly. I have the two highest draft picks that are already out, Vancouver and Philly, I have.
Right.
And they're both out. But you picked Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I have Tampa Bay, but then you picked Carolina and Edmonton. They're both out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is funny. The number 20, there were only 28 picks in the draft. The number 26 pick was Montreal, and the number 27 pick was the Islanders, both of which are in the playoffs.
And you have them both.
I have them both, yeah.
Yeah.
I have them both. And I have Toronto, but you have Ottawa.
I do have Ottawa.
And Anaheim.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, I'm not counting any of these series as being over, except for I think Chicago kills Minnesota tonight. I think Ottawa kills Montreal tonight. No Carey Price. Mm-hmm. Brand Gianta, speaking of crying, you heard about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what a heartless thing to do by the coach to be like, my captain was just crying in my arms. That's awful.
That's worse than the Semenov story.
It's just, I mean, at least Semenov, you can understand. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'd be crying too if I had to move back to Russia. I mean, this guy hurt himself and he's in tears.
Yeah.
And then the coach violates all confidentiality and goes, it'd be like going out there and being like, oh my God, that smell was Michael Ryder took a giant turn. It was him. He farted.
He like came out from the dressing room. You guys smell that? That was Michael Ryder.
That's terrible.
I know.
Terrible, dude. So, yeah, Chicago should win that tonight. Ducks, Detroit. You have Detroit. I have the Ducks. That's 3-2 Ducks, but that wouldn't shock me if that went 7. Blues, Kings. I mean, good series. Kings up 3-2. Penguins, Islanders, dude.
Wow.
I mean,
you know, I was high on Pittsburgh before the playoffs started. I still like Pittsburgh, but I clearly underestimated the magnitude of their defensive and goaltending suckitude. Their defense and goaltending is freaking awful.
It's not good.
Awful.
And you know, I don't expect Focun to go in and wave his magic geriatric pads and fix everything. I don't know. Like
he's an improvement, frankly, I think. Well, Fleury was so bad. Before the Sharks game, we went to that empanada place downtown. On Santa Clara.
So it wasn't Michael Ryder, it was you?
Yeah, it was me. I had empanadas. And so I sit down and, you know, the game starts at 7. We sit down after 6 o'clock. It's in the third period. We order. We sit down. We look up. The Penguins are up by a goal late in the third. I'm like, oh, this is going to be entertaining watching before the Sharks game. And then Fleury lets in 2 terrible goals in like the next 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's over.
Yeah.
And the Islanders win. And it's like, oh my God, how awful is it? How terrible would you feel if you're on the Penguins bench at that point, you're like, dude, what the hell?
Dude, like, I'm telling you, the Penguins lose in the next round. They're out in the next round. If they play Ottawa in the next round, they're going to be out. They're out.
Wow.
Craig Anderson is not going to give up 4 or 5 goals like the Islanders are.
Yeah.
Ottawa has got it together right now. They've got it together. And, you know, Montreal's not a great team. They're a highly overrated 2 seed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But...
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, they're skunking them. They're skunking them.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'm certainly not as confident about Pittsburgh as I was a week ago.
And they've already had some injury problems in the playoffs, you know, with Neil being out and, you know, Crosby wearing some sort of
the
batting helmet, you know, to play out there. I'd be concerned about that number one pick if I were you, dude.
Yes, I am a little concerned.
Capitals-Rangers is a good series, too. The first team that loses a home game there is going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams have won their road games. So, game 5, if the Rangers can win that tomorrow, then they should win that series. But I still like the Rangers. I think they're going to win that game. And that would set up likely a Boston Rangers second round.
Yeah.
Who doggy?
Yeah,
that'd be good too, dude. That'd be good too.
Dude, we got some emails.
All right.
Let's go to the emails here. What do we got? Okay. So. Oh, Bree sent us an email about the sweep. Hey, Bree, guess what happened? I don't think anything else is unfortunately timely enough, but thanks for the response. Let's go to, not that one. What am I doing? This guy, the Flyers fan.
Yes.
The Flyers fan said, thanks for this. I also like the Sharks. I've been a fan from day one, even though I'm a Flyers fan. Glad to see them beat Vancouver. One question, who are your dark horses to win the cup? So, dude, you're picking Ottawa to beat Pittsburgh in the next round if that's the way the matchup goes. Is that your number one dark horse?
No, dude. My dark horse to win the cup right now is the San Jose Sharks. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if they can keep playing like they've been playing, they're the best team. They've played the best out of any team in the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can they keep it up? I have serious doubts, you know, right. just because yeah. of what we've seen this year. But if the team plays as they've been playing, they are the dark horse. They're mm-hmm. the dark horse
yeah.
because if they play like they did against Vancouver, they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody. And so, no, I can't take Ottawa. I don't think that they can win three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they went up against a better team like a Boston or a Rangers at the end, they'd lose. But because I don't think either of those two teams has like some sort of huge, disgusting weakness like Pittsburgh seems to in net. That's my dark horse.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Homer. I'm taking Sharks.
No, I'm with you too. I think, you know, if Pittsburgh really falters a little bit, I think Boston has to be the new favorite. And that's something that.
But that's not a dark horse.
Yeah, it's not a dark horse. But I mean, that's a team that not that many people are talking
about.
So
is the Rangers a dark horse?
No, because I don't think they have a chance. But I mean, I might go with Ottawa. If I had to pick somebody other than the Sharks, then I would pick Ottawa, because as yeah. you said, but again, they're making a team look silly that we picked not even to make the playoffs. And a lot of people have pointed out in terms of advanced stats and other metrics, Montreal is actually really, really, really bad. And,
just,
and they've
you
been
watch
lucky.
Ottawa the way they play. They're very well coached
mm-hmm.
and they believe it. Like
yeah.
they believe it. They believe what in how their system goes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a goalie that can win any game all by himself. Just stop 50 shots and flip you the bird
right.
on the way off the ice.
It could happen.
So, you know, that would not be shocking if they pulled an Edmonton from several years ago, you know?
Yeah, it could happen. Could happen. I think that's it, dude.
All right. Niemi nominated for the Vezina,
yes.
dude. We weren't sure if it was going to happen. Niemi versus Lundqvist and Bobrovsky.
Are you a little surprised about Lundqvist? I'm a little surprised.
Well, I was until I looked at the numbers. You know, Lundqvist and Niemi are tied for the most wins. They basically played the two most minutes. I think Niemi yeah. played five more minutes this year than mm-hmm. Lundqvist. Lundqvist has a better goals allowed, a better save percentage than Niemi. Yeah. Bobrovsky has the best goals allowed and save percentage of any of them. So who wins?
Not Niemi, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly make a case for him to win. I think, unfortunately, he's going to finish third. I think Lundqvist is going to win.
I think Lundqvist is going to win again, too. I mean, there's an East Coast bias a little bit.
I can't see them giving it to the Bob.
It's probably not
his first time.
And he's on a team that didn't make the playoffs. It's going to hurt him whether it should or it shouldn't. It's
right.
going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him for sure.
Dude, we're riding a high.
We are
riding a high, like Lindsay Lohan on her way to rehab.
That's right.
We're enjoying every single moment of it, dude. So,
speaking of high, dude, I made a call out last week to, or a couple weeks ago, for people to review us on iTunes, and some listeners have come through. They've
nice.
Posted some reviews.
I saw those.
These are pretty funny. I think my favorite is Evil Ducks. If you want a podcast about the joys of worshiping Dan Boyle, and who doesn't, this is perfect for you. They also occasionally talk about the Sharks.
Can't dispute that at all.
That is a perfectly summarized review. And, you know, Evil Ducks should write Cliff Notes for a living.
Do we have any Dan Boyle news, dude?
Do we have Dan Boyle? Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Dan Boyle news. So I got word from Andy Bench, who is a friend of the show and writes for Inside Hockey, that Dan Boyle was actually wearing the Dudes on Hockey t-shirt last week. It was during one of the off days, and apparently he was interviewed in it, and you went and checked the tape.
I looked. They cropped it, so it just looks like a black t-shirt.
Yeah.
So I was pretty bummed about that.
We don't have secondary sources confirming or denying. I have no reason, of course, to doubt, you know, Mr. Bench's reporting, but yeah, that if that in fact is true, and I have no reason to doubt it, then that is super cool.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
And go Sharks!
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.